The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Behar, Perchof Hei Posuk Mem Zayin. V'chisasig yad ger v'soshav imach. When the stranger and he that dwells with you will become wealthy. Rashi brings from the Chazal that's because he associated with righteous people. Umoch achicha imai. And one of your brothers will fall from his possessions, and he becomes so poor that he has no other alternative except minimkar leger teishav imach, that he sells himself as a slave. But not only he sells himself as a slave to a Jew, he sells himself as a slave leger and a teishav imach. He sells himself to the stranger, to the non-Jew. Or to the Eker Mishpachas Ger. This is, well, the Gemara Darshans, Rashi brings the Droshos. The Ger is a non-Jew who does not worship Avodah Zarah. And the Mishpachas Ger is the non-Jew that worships Avodah Zarah, idolatry. And Eker Mishpachas Ger means even to the idolatry itself. In other words, he becomes a shamus, a servant, to not only to idolaters, but even to idolaters in their own idolatry. He doesn't worship idolatry, but he draws water for those who worship idolatry. He makes fires and different things like that. Acharei nimkar, geulati alei. After he is sold, it's a mitzvah to redeem him. Echod me'echov yigvaleno. And the mitzvah is on his immediate families. One of his brothers should redeem him. O dodo, o vendodo yigvaleno. If his brothers won't redeem him, then his uncle should redeem him. Or the son of his uncle, which is his cousin. Or Mishir Besore, Mimishpachti Yigoleno, or other members of his family. They shouldn't let him be a slave there. And they should redeem him. In other words, pay back the non-Jew the money which he paid for him, and ransom him, let him go free. What happens if his immediate family will not redeem him, and even his distant family will not redeem him, and there's no one else in Israel that will? Or Yisigu Yodav Inigol, or maybe he'll come back into his wealth. Maybe he has investments that turn sour, and all of a sudden that they take a turnaround. Then he should redeem himself. V'chishavim keineo mishnas himoch reilei atshnas ayovel. And you should calculate. He or those who redeem him should calculate with the purchaser from the time he bought him until the time of the Yovel. What does this mean? The halacha is, if no one redeems him and he himself cannot redeem himself, he will go free at the Yovel. Not at 6 years or the seventh year, but at the Yovel. That's when the Yovel comes every 50th year. If he was bought 10 years before the Yovel, he will go free on the Yovel. Therefore, when you come to redeem him, you have to calculate how much time was it possible for him to work from the time of the purchase until the time of the Yovel. And how much time did he work? And therefore, you should calculate that the money that the non-Jew paid for him, that'll be like he hired him for a certain amount of years. If there's still a long time till the Yovel, therefore, the amount that you redeem him for should be a large amount. And if there are just a few years left until the Yovel, then you have to calculate how much you should give him. In accordance to the years that he worked, this is in accordance to the amount that you pay to redeem him. Rashi explains. Let's say, for example, someone sold himself 10 years before the Yovel. And for argument's sake, we'll say 10,000 rand. This means that the non-Jew that bought him for 1,000 rand a year, because he can only keep him for 10 years. If you come to redeem him after 5 years, then you must pay the non-Jew 5,000 rand, because 5,000 rand of his money he already got from the purchase price. You deduct that, and there's still a balance of 5,000 rand worth of value that he would have gotten from him. So then you pay him 5,000 rand. If 8 years to the Yovel, so then you have to pay him 8,000 rand. 2 years to the Yovel, you pay him 2,000 rand. This is what it means, v'chishav im konehu. You must calculate with the person who paid, how much the purchase price was, and how many years were there from the time of the purchase till the time of the Yovel, and how much of that time has he already worked, and therefore you pay accordingly. This is this halacha, this mitzvah. Seemingly, it's a straightforward halacha, but there's a great deal that we can learn from here. Rashi brings in Geulati Eloi, he says, it's speaking be'akum shetachas yotcha akosim medave. Speaking about an idolater, here we're dealing with an idolater, who is under our sovereignty. If he's under our sovereignty, so then why don't we just go and take him back? Afal pi kein leitoba elav ba'akifin. Not only you can't go and take him back, but you have to pay him the exact fair amount. And you're not allowed to come upon him with any type of scheming crookedness. Mimnechilo Hashem. Because this will desecrate the name of Hashem. The Gemara explains that it has to be speaking about an akum, an idolater that's under our sovereignty. Because if it's speaking about idolaters that are not under our sovereignty, so what does the Torah say? That we must calculate very carefully and give him the exact amount. Whatever amount he demands, that's what he wants, that is what he expects, and he will not give up this servant for less than that. Therefore, it must be speaking about an idolater that is under our sovereignty. And this means we would have the power to just take him for nothing, or surely we'd have the power to name the price. Or even if we don't name the price, we can come and negotiate and strike a good deal for ourselves. No. It says, v'chishav im kenehu. Yedaktek b'cheshbon. What you pay him has to be the exact fair value. If he bought him for 10,000 rand, and there were 10 years of work which he could have gotten out of him, and he got so far 5 years, you must pay him 5,000 rand and no less. Lefia magia bechol shona or shona yenakale yaakum in a domov, in accordance to, like we said, what the purchase price was, how many years of expectancy was that were there, and how many years of work actually did he get. And then the Rashi goes into detail, like we said. And why is that? Because of Chilul Hashem. If not, it'll be a desecration to Hashem. It's interesting, we're talking about an idolater. Nevertheless, it'll be a desecration to Hashem. There's a great deal in this halacha. This is a lengthy sugya, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara in Baba Kama, in Perek HaGoyis Olam Achil, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Amad Aleph, and Amad Beis. And let me quote a few principles which come from that sugya. Gemara brings first. The Gemara brings Rabbi Kiva Eimer. Rabbi Kiva says, "Ein boy no love ba'akifin mipnei kiddush Hashem." You're not allowed to come upon him with crookedness. Actually, Rabbi Kiva was referring to a different case, but similar. Because of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. To sanctify Hashem's name and to desecrate, not to desecrate Hashem's name. Then the Gemara brings, Vasanyo, Reb Shimon, Omar, Reb Shimon, Dovizde, Dorish, Reb Kiva, Kishaba, Mizapirin. Reb Shimon says that Reb Kiva, when he came from a place called Zapirin, he darshened this, Minayin legezel Knani shu osa. How do we know that Gezel Knani is also, is forbidden? Now, the Gemara is using the term Kenani. Whenever the Gemara uses the term Kenani, it refers to an idolater, to the Rishoim, the Rishay Akum, the Rishoim of the Goyim. The word Goy means other nations. The word Ger, Ger Toshav, that can mean a stranger, someone from the other nations, but he can keep the seven mitzvahs. He can be from Michasidi or Mesalem, from the righteous. He doesn't worship Aved Zorah. But when the Gemara refers to Akum, Akum means an Eved Aved Zorah, or Kenani, this is referring to the Rishoim, to the wicked of the nations of the world that do not keep the seven mitzvahs. They are idolaters. So he says, "Minayin legezel Kenani shu osur." How do we know that to steal from a Kenani nevertheless is forbidden? Talmud Leima, and he brings from this pasuk, "Acharei nimka gula tielai shaleim shechena v'yetze." It says, "After, since he was sold, the family must come and redeem him, buy him back." So he's asking, "Why do you have to buy him back? Take him back." Because it must be speaking about an akum, an idolater that's under our sovereignty. If it's not, then there's nothing to discuss. He'll lay down the rules and the regulations. We can't. So just take him back. So minayin shlo yim shechena v'yetze yochol yigla. It says it's a yochol yigla malov. You're not allowed to. We see Geula, you have to redeem him, you have to give him money. Yochel Yigla Malov, maybe you can make a calculation with him and try to knock the price down. And to tell him, look, this is all we're paying, take it or leave it, and force him to take it. Tamalema v'chishav im konehu. Yedaktik im konehu. No. Torah says you have to calculate exactly what is the value today of this person to this idolater and pay him that amount, like we said. This is one halacha that the Gemara brings. And this was because of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. Then the Gemara, a little later, brings in a second element, because we're dealing here with two elements. The second element that the Gemara brings is, and this is the maskona, the conclusion of the Gemara, is gezel kenani osur. To steal from a kenani is forbidden. Why? Minayin. Oh, the Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, minayin legezel lekenani shu osur. Shenemar v'yachalto es kol ha'amim asher Hashem elekecha neisin lecho. In Devarim, Sefer Devarim, it states, this is Devarim Vav, it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when you'll come into your land, which I'm giving you, and there were the Kenani, this was Eretz Kenan. There were actually seven nations there, but they were all called Kenanim because they were the sons of Kenan, of the original Kenan, who was a grandson of Noach, the son of Chom. When you'll come into this land, and I want you to drive these people out, and on that, they're not allowed to live with you, unless they do tshuva, and they give up all their bad ways, because they were all idolaters, and they were all murderers, and they were all rapists, and adulterers, and everything else. So Hashem said, when you come into this land, then you will have the right to drive them out and to take everything of theirs. What do we see from here? We see that they had the right to take everything that was theirs only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this to them. But in places where he did not give this to them, they have no right to take it. In Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, he told them, go conquer the land, drive them out, and v'achalto, consume everything. I give you everything. Botim le'bonisho, beiris le'kosavto, I'm going to give you beautiful homes and palaces that you didn't build, and I'm going to give you beautiful wells that you didn't dig. Malayim kol tuv, which was filled with everything, gold and silver. So there we had a heter, there we had permission to take what was theirs. But where Hashem did not give us this permission, we're not allowed to. But they're rishoyim, they're evil, they're idolaters. Minayin shegezel kenani is osur. From here we learn that even to steal from an idolater, one is not allowed to mina Torah. Now, so we have two elements here. We have the elements of stealing, and we have the elements of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, which the Gemara goes into at length and debates. The conclusion of the Gemara is that by a ger toshav is a non-Jew who has accepted upon himself the seven mitzvahs. And especially there's a particular halacha if he lives with you in Eretz Yisrael. There, all types of theft from him is forbidden. Not only is all types of theft from him forbidden, but we are obligated to even give to him, to do chesed to him. We are obligated to lend him money and to help him. How do we know this? This is also in our parsha. If we look in Posuk Lamed Hay, it states, V'chiyomuch ochicha umoto yoda imoch. If your brother will fall from his possessions, the mitzvahs I say, positive commandment, sustain him. There Rashi brings, what does it mean? Vexaktaba. Go and uplift him before he falls totally. Lend him money. Give him money. The Rambam brings that this, the Rambam catalogs this amongst the mitzvahs of tzedakah. Other Rishonim learn this is a particular mitzvah in regards to lending. But be as that as may, the Rambam says this is the highest type of tzedakah, the highest type of charity. That when your brother is falling, to help him before he falls. Give him money so he shouldn't fall. Or any, give him work, give him customers, anything that he shouldn't fall. Then it states, ger v'seishov. Now what does it mean, ger v'seishov? Rashi says, af im hu ger. Now a ger, we could say, is a Jew, someone who converted. And we're obligated towards the ger, all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. But it states, ger o toshav. Toshav is one that dwells with you. Ezahu toshav. So Rashi says, who is the toshav? And he brings this from Gemaras. Kol shekibol alov shleilavei ravedes kochavim ve'echel nevelis. This is a non-Jew. It's not speaking about a ger tzedek. This is speaking about a ger toshav, a non-Jew. Except a non-Jew that has accepted not to serve idolatry. He keeps the seven mitzvahs, but he does not keep other mitzvahs. So here we see that on a ger toshav, on a ger which keeps the seven mitzvahs, in particular if he lives with you in Eretz Yisrael, because it says those toshav that's dwelling with you, not only you're not allowed in any way to take anything that's his, you have to give from yours to him. It states, v'chai imoch, chayovin onu lachayoso. We have to see that he makes a living. So certainly we can't take from him. This is one halacha. Then, now there comes to the halacha, what about the non-Jew? That's not righteous. He worships idolatry. Or he does other such things of the seven mitzvahs that were given to Bnei Nayach. Here, the conclusion of the Gemara is that gezel kenani osur. One is not allowed to steal from him. And like we brought the source, because only where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you their money, are you allowed to take it? And that was when we went into Eretz Yisrael to conquer. But otherwise not. There's a second halacha that's brought. And that is by Gezel Knani. Under certain technical situations, which we will speak about, you would be able to keep his money. But even then, the Gemara says, that'll be only where there's not a Chilul Hashem. If there is, it would be awesome in our Torah because of Chilul Hashem, of desecrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. There'll be a mitzvah not to keep it because of Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And this is only, the Gemara brings in this sugya, where there's no dina de malchusa. Mashmul dina de malchusa dina. This is only where it will be legal in accordance to the laws of the government. Now, let's go further into this because there's a wealth that we can learn from this. The Rambam brings firstly in Hilchis Geneva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. What is Geneva? We have what's called Geneva, we have what's called Gezela. We have many different categories. We have what's called also Oshek. A Geneva is theft. To steal something without the owner knowing that you have taken it. Kol hagenev momen mishava pruta ulamala. someone, a Jew, that steals someone else's money, theft, which is worth a pruta. If it's worth at least a pruta is not a large amount of money. Eiver aleisase. He transgresses a negative commandment, minatora, as it states, leitignov. All right. Then, it's the Rambam says, be'echad agenev momen Yisrael, there's no difference if he steals this from Yisrael, or hagonev momen akum, or if he steals this from the idolater. Be'echad agenev es hagodl, or es hakotn, there's no difference if you take it from an adult, or if you take money from a child. If a child owns money, a minor owns money, you can't say he's just a kid, I can take the money. That's the same isha min ha-Torah. So here the Rambam brings this halacha, where one is not allowed to be gainef, to take money min ha-Torah, even from an akum. In the beginning of Perek Beis, the Rambam brings Hagonef es ha'akum ein mishalem el ha'keren. If he steals from the akum, from the non-Jew, from the idolater, then min ha'Torah he has to return what he stole. This is in the beginning of Perek Beis. In Perek Zayin, the Rambam brings Perek Zayin, the Rambam deals with another type of geneva, of theft, and that's the type of mishkoles, midas mishkoles, where you steal through false weights or measures. Now we know we have particular, special parshas in the Torah, where the Torah very, very severely demands from us that we do not deal with false weights and measures and so forth. Not only that, we're not even allowed to have them in our possession. And there's great punishments for this. What would be if you use false weights and measures for a goy? Or for an akum, for an idolater? Idolater comes to do business with you. You have a shop. So you give him a little less weight, a little more, a little off the weight, you use your different weights for him. The Rambam brings, firstly, he brings in the beginning of Perek Zayin, which deals with this, he first brings in general, Hashekel lechaveira mimishkoles chesron min hamishkol, shishkim alav b'nei Eisa Medina, someone who uses weights, which is less than the amount, which is acceptable, which is decided in that particular place, or if you measure with false measures in accordance to the regulations of the place, of the Medina, you transgress a negative commandment, as it states that you shall not do an injustice with the Midah, with the dry measure, mishko, with the weights, misura, with the liquid measure. And then the Rambam brings in halacha ches. Echad hanesei v'hanesei in Yisrael. There's no difference in this halacha if you're dealing with a Jew or im akum, or if you're dealing with the idolater. Imodad o shokal v'chosar, if you cheat him through false weights and measures, eva leisaseh, you transgress this negative commandment min ha-Torah v'chayiv la-hachzer, and you're obligated to return the money. V'chein oser la-hatos es ha-akum. And even if you do not have the false weights and measures, but you deceive him in business, the idolater, the cheshbon, you deceive him in the calculation. In other words, you have good weights and measures, but when you calculate, when you ring it up on the cash register, you do something which makes it a false calculation. It's osur. Eliyadak tekimai. You have to calculate with him exactly. Where do we learn this from? Rambam brings the source from Apshukim, as it states, V'chishav im konehu, that you have to. Here we can dray him, we can give him a false calculation, we can make a whole story. No. It says, V'chishav im konehu, you have to calculate exactly what is the value of this servant that he's giving back to us, and you have to pay him accordingly. And this is dealing with an idolater. The Torah is referring to an idolater which you have sovereignty over and you can do what you want with. And still it said, V'chisham, you have to calculate with him exactly. So how much more so if you're dealing with an idolater that is not in our sovereignty? There we could go make special laws for him when he's in our sovereignty. And still the Torah. So how much more so if he's not under our sovereignty? Bahrehu bechlal. Now, on the false weights, it states there that this is an abomination. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates people that deal in false weights and measures. He says this is inclusive. Bahrehu bechlal ki toav as Hashem elokecho kol eise elu. That if there's a Jew that has false weights and measures when he deals with an Akum, not only a non-Jew that believes in Hashem, but a non-Jew that does not believe in Hashem. He denies the existence of Hashem. And therefore he has a halacha of Rishei Amei Yisrael. And he's hated. He's an enemy of Hashem. Because he tries to deny the existence of Hashem. Still, if someone deals with false weights and measures with him, he's included in what states this is an abomination to Hashem, whoever does such an injustice. The Rambam brings in Halacha Yud Aleph. Now here he's referring in general again. He's dealing with Yisrael, but Akum would be inclusive. To show how chomer, how severe this halacha is, Amasik Gvul Rehu. What happens if you're Masik Gvul? Masik Gvul means you move over the boundary. You have a wall, a fence, you're building a new wall, you decide to get another couple meters or feet of new land. So you push the wall back. Hamasik vulreyu vihichnis bitchum mitchum chavere beseich tchumai afilo mole etzpa. If you take from someone else's land, even a mole etzpa, even the width of a finger, in bechazok osa hareis a gazlan. If you did it forcefully, then you're a gazlan. Because where you do it forcefully, where he knows it, this is gzela. If you did it secretly, hareza ganav, then this is geneva. If this is done in Eretz Yisrael, then there's two loving, two negative commandments: belav geneva, belav gzela, belav lesasig. Then there would be either geneva or gzela, and then it is explicit posuk in the Torah that states lo sasig, lo sasig vul chaveire, and that's dafke neretz Yisrael. So there would be an extra love. Then the Rambam concludes when he's speaking about mishkoles. You see, people like to make their own emphasis, their own priorities, what's important and what's not. What is important is that we should listen to the Torah's priorities, not to the priorities that we make, not to the priorities that society makes or that our friends make. The Rambam concludes, Kosha ancient shall meet us, Yosema ancient shall arise. To take from someone through false weights and measures, like we were speaking about, there the onish, the punishment, is greater than the punishment for adultery and incest. Shezer b'nei levein amokum, v'zer b'nei levein chaverei. Because one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the other is to your fellow man. The Gemara gives various reasons on this, and other Rishonim give various reasons. But whatever the reason is, one reason, another reason that's brought is because you can't do tshuva on such a thing. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Tshuva. How are you going to do tshuva? You've stolen from so many people with your false weights and measures. How are you going to give tshuva? Tshuva doesn't help when you take from someone. You got to do tshuva and return the money. The eco tshuva is to pay up. So you don't know who. But on incest and arayis, you can do tshuva. And the Rambam Stam he brings, because this is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be meichel you. But this is l'chaveri. And whoever closes his eyes to this mitzvah and says, no, it's not important, is as if he denies that we came out of Egypt, which is the foundation of our entire Torah. Even the Ten Commandments, Shavuos is coming, the giving of the Torah, the Ten Commandments, which is the foundation for our whole Torah, the first command, which is the foundation for all of the commandments, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God. What does it say? Asher Otzei Sicho Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, that I have taken you out of Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, is the foundation of the entire Torah. Someone who closes his eyes to this mitzvah, it's as if he closes his eyes to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. B'chol makabel olav mitzvahs midas, hareza meidim Yetzias Mitzrayim, shehi grama l'chol atzibuin. And someone who accepts this mitzvah, and he's careful with it, it's as if he is accepting the entire going out of Egypt, which is the yesod, the foundation for all of our mitzvahs. So this is in regards to Mishkol and Midos. Now the Rambam brings in Hilchos Gzeila, the Aveda. When it comes to Gzeila, that's taking something forcefully or knowingly. That's a hold-up man. Someone who takes by force. In Perek Aleph of Gzeila, Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes, Osel Ligzol. Well, first he writes in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, Kol HaGezel HaShaveri Shava Pruta Eva B'Leisa Aseh Shunem Alei Sikzol. Whoever steals, again, the amount of a pruta, he transgresses the negative commandment. Then in Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Osel Ligzol Kolshu, Din Torah. Even though in order to transgress the entire negative commandment, it has to be at least a pruta, which is, like we mentioned, a certain sum of money, but it's not a great sum of money. But even if you steal, also legal kol shul din Torah, even to steal the smallest amount from someone is forbidden by the Torah, afilo akum, also legaizlai, and even from an akum, an idolater, one is not allowed to take the smallest amount, ola oshkai. The oshkai means to withhold what you owe him. If he worked for you, to withhold payment, to withhold salaries, and not give him, and not give him what is due, what was agreed upon, then the smallest amount, din Torah, according to the Torah, you're not allowed to take, in gozle oshki yachser. And if you did, if you took from him, or if you withheld from him, the bezdin will force you to return it. There's a Magid Mishnah that brings a Yishalmi here, which is a Dovra Neira, which is something really shaking. He brings He brings that many hold, this is Dafka, again, here I'm not speaking in particular by an Akum, we're speaking in general. Many hold that this, when we're speaking, that you're not allowed to take anything from the person against his will, or knowingly or not knowingly, you're not allowed to take unless he gives you permission. So many hold this is only referring to something that a person is makpid on. That means that a person generally doesn't want you to take. But if a person has a bundle of straw and you take a straw because you want to pick your teeth with it, or you're leaning on his fence, his wooden fence, and you have something in your tooth, so you take a sliver of wood from there, he says, many hold that's not gesel, because a person's not makpid on that. He doesn't care. B'chi ha'shori, that'll be permissible. So if it's something that you know that majority of people don't care, you take a straw from his bundle, that would be allowed. Then he brings Va'afse Osru B'Yishalmi Mimidus Chasidus. Yishalmi says, yes, it's allowed, Mitzad Adin, as far as the letter of the law is concerned, but a Chosid will not do this. You want Musa, you see Musa, what a Chosid is. Right? A Chosid will not even take a sliver of wood from someone unless he has permission or he knows the person had told him, take what you want. Even though according to the letter of the law you would be allowed to, but a chosid, it's not midus chasidus. The now we come to another category in this discussion, and that is, which the Gemara also mentions, an Aveda. Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph Beis. The Rambam deals with Avedas. And that's again from this Sugya in Baba Kama, which we mentioned. First, he tells us in general. He says, Hashavas Aveda Yisrael, Mitzvahs Esse. If a Yisrael, a Jew, loses something, and you find it, and you know for sure that it's his, because he can identify it, he can prove to you it's his, and also the halacha is he's still looking for it, he hasn't been miyash, he hasn't forsaken it and given up hope of the search, then mitzvah zeseh shenemar hoshev tishivam, it's a mitzvah zeseh, a positive commandment to return it to him. There's actually, all right, Vahareya Avedish Yisrael, and if you see it, V'nis'ale Mimeno, V'nicho, and if you see it in a distance, and you say, look, I don't have time to deal with that, so you just walk away from it, Eva B'leisase, you transgress a negative commandment. Sh'nema Leisire Shorachicha V'islam Tamehem, Ubitl Mitzis Esse. And you have also, you have also transgressed the positive commandment. This is the din of Ashavas Aveda. Now the Rambam brings a second halacha. What happens if the Baal HaAveda is a Jew, but a Rosho? Right? The Baal HaAveda is a Jew, but not a kosher Jew. What do we mean? He's Eichel Nevelis Lita Odin. He's a Jew that doesn't keep mitzvahs. But he believes in Hashem. He's not a kefir. He's not an apokoros. Believes in the mitzvahs. He believes in Hashem. But what can he do? He's weak, and therefore he doesn't keep the mitzvahs he should, because mitzvahs are difficult. Right? What's the halacha then? So the Rambam says, "Afilo hayabala aveda rosha, ve'echel nevela lite avon, uki yetzibah mitzvah lohoshim le'avedosai." No, you still have to return it to him. What happens though if he's a Jew that doesn't keep mitzvahs because he doesn't believe in them? In other words, he says, I eat treifus because I don't believe that there's anything different than kosher or treif, and I'm not interested in the mitzvahs of the Torah. Or what happens if he's an abakeris, or he's Eib de Akum, or he's an idolater? In other words, a Jew that's an evolutionist, who says, look, there's no God in the world. No God in the world. The world came from apes. Then the halacha is, Osela Hachsela Naveda. You're not allowed to return Naveda to him. Now, this is a halacha which we do not find by theft, though. We don't find that you can steal from a Jewish idolater. In fact, as we said before, you can't even steal from a non-Jewish idolater. So why over here do we find that if you find something that belongs to him and you know it's his, you don't have to return it? All right, so this needs a little explanation. The explanation is as follows. The mitzvah of returning a lost article to a Jew is not the mitzvah of theft, a gezel. In other words, the Torah didn't tell you that you have to return a lost article to a Jew because otherwise you're stealing from him. The Deen would be, the halacha, the law would be that anything that is lost to a person and he cannot find it, it's no longer his. Again, when something is lost from a person, we're talking about a dovra avud. When something is lost from a person and he cannot find it, then the actual halacha is it's no longer his. Poka kinyonai. He loses ownership. Ownership is basic ownership, is possession. When something is out of his possession, that means he lost it. He didn't lose it in the house. He didn't lose it on his estate. He lost it in the city. He lost it outside. And he cannot find it. Then it's not his anymore. And this is the halacha in regards to non-Jews, and non-Jew to non-Jew. The Torah came with a chidush, with a unique halacha. And it says, but that what is owned by a Jew, Hashem said, I'm extending the law. They will retain possession over their holdings, even when it's lost, as long as their search is still on. If they discontinue the search, then they also will lose possession over it, and anyone can take it. This is what is known as Yush Bailim. See again, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, this is the basic law. This is the law for the whole world. But for Yisrael, I'm making a special halacha. That even when they lose something, and it's lost, they will retain their ownership, even then, but on condition that there's still the search for it. Once he abandons the search, then they also will lose possession of it. Therefore, the halacha is that if you find someone's wallet, there's an identification in it, but the person had abandoned the search, then the halacha is the law is it's yours. Right? Don't have to give it back. You can, but you don't have to. Because ownership means possession. But if he's still searching for it, then the Torah was very machmer, very severe when it came to Maman Yisrael. Not only did the Torah say it's still his, but the Torah saddled you with an enormously difficult mitzvah. Not only is it still his, which means you can't take it, but you must take it and return it to him. Do you know what that means? That means if it's a horse or his cow, you have to take it to your barn, you have to feed it, you have to brush it, you have to care for it until the owners come. And the same with anything else. It's a very heavy mitzvah. And this is called the mitzvah, not only the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda, this comes under the category of Atzolos Momen Chaverei, where you have to care for the money of another Jew. So this was a whole extension that Hashem made for Momen Shel Yisrael. They're my nation. I give them a special kinyan, a special ownership over their money, that as long as they're still searching for it, it's theirs. And other Jews, a goy is not obligated to. If you see something that belongs to a Jew, he can't take it for himself that's lost. But he's not obligated to go to the whole trouble of caring for it and returning from it. That's not from his seven mitzvahs. But a Jew, I saddle with this mitzvah. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is something that, a principle that we must learn from. Those that deny me, those that deny my Torah, they must not expect the protection of the Torah. Those who deny the law cannot come with a claim we must be protected by the law, contrary to our society. You see, the criminal who kills, he's the one who claims that the law must protect him from being executed. The nations that have the worst records of human rights, they are the ones that sit in the United Nations Human Rights Committee to demand human rights towards them. Now, it doesn't work that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. You believe in me and you believe in my law, then you'll have my protection, you'll have the protection of the law. You deny my existence, you're my enemy. You deny my mitzvahs, don't ask for that protection. Therefore, the Rambam brings, not by Gezel, but by Aveda, he brings that if the Jew is not a Jew which fulfills mitzvahs, but the reason why he doesn't fulfill mitzvahs is not because he denies the mitzvah or Hashem, it's because they're difficult. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's still a Jew. He believes in me, he believes in my mitzvahs. So he has the protection of my mitzvahs. You must return it to him. But if it's a Jew who, he says, Eichel Nevelis Lahachis, he transgresses my mitzvahs in principle, Hareu Apokeres, so then he's an Apokeres, he's a denier. And the Apokeres, the idolater, you're not allowed to return it to them. They must not have the protection of my law. Now we come further. So what will be then by an idolater, a non-Jew? Would be the same thing. A non-Jew that's an idolater is no better than an idolater that's Israel. So therefore, if he denies, if you have an idolater who believes in Hashem, if you have a non-Jew that believes in Hashem, he keeps the mitzvahs. The law is a ger toshuv. For sure you have to return it to him. You even have to take what's your own and give to him. We said it's a mitzvah l'achiyoso. You have to help him out. But if you have a non-Jew that's an idolater, if he's an idolater, he is from the enemies of Hashem. He denies the existence of Hashem. These are the evolutionists or the others. There's no God in the world. There's no God in the world. They can't expect the protection, the extra protection or of Hashem or his mitzvahs. So therefore the Rambam says the same thing. Avedis Eved Akum. What's the deen of a lost article which is lost by a non-Jew idolater? Muteris. It no longer belongs to him. Because once it goes out of his rishus, once it goes out, then it's lost. And he's no longer the owner. And therefore, he says, you can keep it. Not only that, it's an avera to give it back to him. Why? Because you're supporting the wicked. You're supporting the idolaters. Now listen carefully to what the Rambam says. Now here it's speaking, like we said, he's like the idolater that's the Jew. He lost something. It's not his anymore. Finders, keepers. You don't have to return it to him, and you shouldn't return it to him. Because you're supporting evil in the world. Now the Rambam comes along and he says, this is also from the Gemara that we quoted before, V'imek zira l'kadish es Hashem. What happens if you decide you like to return it to the person, even though he's an idolater, to sanctify Hashem's name? How will you sanctify Hashem's name? By returning it to idolater. K'dei shi'faru es Yisrael. In order that people should know how great Yisrael is. V'yedu shehim bale emuna. And that people should know, like Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik was Mekadesh Hashem. Why? Because he said, Es Elakim Ani Yore. Anything they wanted from him, he said, Es Elakim Ani Yore, I fear Hashem. To let people know that you're doing this because you believe in God. Hareza Meshubach, then he's praiseworthy. So what are we speaking about here? We're speaking about the lowest of the low. We're speaking about a non-Jew that's an idolater. He denies the existence of the Almighty. So he's a Seinei Hashem. In other words, he's from the hatreds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he lost something which, according to the letter of the law, is not his anymore. But you give it back. In order to let him and others know. And who are we talking about? Who you've been Mekadesh Hashem to? You can be Mekadesh Hashem to the worst of the worst. In order to let him and others know what a Jew is, that even though it was a lot of money, but our interest fundamentally is firstly not in money. We believe as Elokim Ani Yore, like Yosef said. We believe in the Almighty, the Creator of the world. He says then, and you generally you can't even return it to him because you're supporting him. It's like supporting Buddha or something like that. He says, Hariza Meshubach. Then you're praiseworthy. Now he says the second case. Ubamokim Shiesh Chil Hashem. What happens if you find it? You're not interested in becoming Yosef HaTzadik. You found it, a wallet with 5,000 rand in it. So you're not interested in becoming Yosef HaTzadik. You need the money. Okay. The Rambam didn't say you have to. Okay. He says, that's Areza Meshubach, that's praiseworthy, but you don't have to. But, let's say that it's this possibility, though, that by keeping it, it might become known. Not talking where it's impossible anybody will know, but here it's a possibility it might become known. And if it becomes known, a Chil Hashem can come from it. In other words, maybe someone will find out and they'll say, oh, look, the Jew found someone else, someone's money, it's 5,000 rand, he didn't give it back. These are supposed to be Jews. B'mokim sheish Chil Hashem, aveidose asura. Then it's osur. You're not allowed to take it. You can't touch it. Not only that, he says, chayv lachzira, you have to give it back. In other words, you can't, you're not allowed to take it, you have to take and give it back. Mishum chil Hashem. Now he brings another halacha. Ubechol moke machnisin kleihem, mibnei aganovim, kekli Yisrael, mibnei darkei sholem. What happens if it's not a real lost article? The guy knows where it is. He didn't lose it. But, for example, he left his tools. He left his tools near you, and he didn't think it was going to rain. And you're there, and you see it's going to start raining. And that can harm the tools. Or he left tools there, and he thought he would come back to put them away, but he couldn't get back. And you see them there, and if you leave them there at night, they can get taken. And he's an idolater. He says, no. This is from the Magid Mishnah brings, this is Yishalmi. Machnisin klehem, bibnei aganovim. The halacha is, this also goes into Ashrovas Avera, because this is Atzolos Maman Chavera, but this is a lesser degree of it. He's, because here it's still his. It's not avud yet, it's not lost. Except something could happen to it. So then the halacha is you have to take care of it. You have to take it into the house or put it in the garage or lock it up for him, just like you have to do for the Jews, kelim, for the Jews' tools and so forth, mibnei darkei shalom, because of ways of peace. These are the halachas. This is the Rambam, this is the halacha that the Rambam brings in regards to Aveda. Let's go a step further. In halacha, dalet and hey, the Rambam brings tos akum. What happens if you're doing business with a non-Jew, and he's not, again, not the Jew that not the non-Jew that keeps the mitzvahs, but an akum, an idolater, and the idolater makes a mistake, and gives you back too much change, or gives you too much merchandise for the money you gave him. This is called to'us akum, an error which you can gain from. Tos akum ke avedose. That has the same aloha as an aveda of an akum, where the idolater has a lost article. Umuteris. And it's permitted. Just like his lost article, since he's the idolater, he has no protection from the Torah over that. So the same thing if you can gain from his error. But we have to know the halachos. Unfortunately, many people use these terms, but they're amaratzim. Every halacha has many, many conditions. Here the Rambam writes the basic condition. Firstly, that's where the non-Jew, the idolater, he made the mistake. Avalahateso osur. And not where you caused him to make a mistake. It is forbidden for you to cause him to make a mistake. That's where he made a mistake on his own. But ketzad, kigen she'osa akum cheshbon v'to'u. You come and you do a deal with a non-Jew. And now the idolater. And now the idolater calculates everything. And he says, this is what you owe me. This is what you owe me. And you look at it, and you look at it, and you see there's a mistake. Because he's given you more merchandise than that amount that he's given you to pay. This is the tos. You're not allowed to just take it. Now, Tzorek Shiema Yisrael. Israel has to say to him, Re'e. He says, my friend, see. Shal cheshbeincho ani semech. Be'eni yodea. Elamasha ta emer ani neisin loch. He says, look. He says, you say this is what I owe you? Yes. All right. He says, I'm not sure what I owe you. I'll rely on your arithmetic. Here's your money. If he says that, then that's mutar. Avim le omar lekein, then it's osur. You see? So if the akum makes a mistake on his own, and it was not through any effort of yours, now it becomes an aveda. It's like a lost article. And if you tell him, look, is this what you're charging me? Right? 500 rand, yes. You added it all up? Yes. Okay. You say 500 rand. I'm not sure what it is. I'll give you the 500 rand. See? Then it's mutter. But if you don't tell him that, or if you say, yes, you're right, 500 rand, then it's also. The Rambam says, why? Shema yiskaven ab akum lebeitke, because maybe the akum later on, right then or later on, will decide to recalculate. V'nimtze shem shamayim ishalel, and you were machalel shem shamayim, chilashem. Because you said, yes, it's 500 rand, I'll give it to you. He finds that you are trying to steal from him. And in case you don't know what Chilul Hashem is, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Tshuva that the Aveira that is the most difficult for anyone to do Tshuva from is Chilul Hashem, is to desecrate Hashem's name. Many people will say, look, you don't have to worry about Chilul Hashem amongst the Goyim. Here we're only talking about Goyim. Well, many will say, look, that's when it comes to an honest Goy, a righteous Goy, right? Tzadikim. But now when it comes to Rishoyim, we're only talking about Rishoyim here. All these halachas that we've been speaking about is not the Ger Toshav. Speaking about the Goy that's the idolater, the Akum. And yet, worried about the Chilul Hashem and the Kiddush Hashem and so forth and so on. This is all from that Sugya in Baba Kama, where the Gemara brings both elements, the elements of Gezel and the elements of Chilul Hashem. There was the famous case. I remember hearing about it, and then it was written up in a book. It was a case. There was a man by the name of Irving Bunim. Irving Bunim was a person who during the Second World grew up in America in the early days and was from the founders of the organization known, it was a national organization called Young Israel. They ran a string of shuls throughout America. They're still active in America. But it was younger Jews. It was in the times when the majority of the Jewish people that came to America were leaving the folds. They were leaving Torah mitzvahs. So these were young people that were getting together and making shuls for younger people. And he was very active in those years. And then when the war years came and the Rosh Yeshivas started to come in from Europe and build yeshivas, he became very close to the Rosh Yeshivas. In particular, Rav Aaron Kotler. And he became like the right-hand man for Rav Aaron Kotler, firstly in Vara Hatzolah, in saving Jews from Europe, and secondly, in the establishing of Rav Aaron Kotler's yeshiva. He was a businessman, big businessman. I believe he had textile factories. I don't recall, but I think it was textiles. And they tell over the story, but later on it was printed by a son who wrote a book on his father. He said that one day they did a big deal. They did trading with a non-Jewish firm. They would buy merchandise from them. One day they did a big deal. Well, they were always doing big deals. But 1 month, his bookkeepers come and tell him that something's wrong with these accounts. There's a major shipment that they never charged you for. It was $50,000. In those days, $50,000, we're talking of a few million dollars. So he said, that can't be. It was just big companies and so forth. He says, check again. No, can't be. They checked again, and still. He says, the invoice will probably come next month, the account. Next month it didn't come. Next month it didn't come. So he was wondering what to do. So he says, call them up. Call them up and ask them, do we owe any, how's the status of our accounts? Do we owe any money or not? And ask them to make sure. Because to give them a story, tell them, look, our accounts are a little confused here. We've been going over them and so forth and so on. We're bringing them all up to date. Are our accounts up to date? They call them up and they say, your accounts are totally up to date. Up to date. You sure? Yes. This was the halacha. He says, we owe you nothing now. You're all paid up to date. Maybe he studied the Rambam. Maybe he asked Gdeile Rabbonim what the halacha is. Any rate, he says he's paying the money back. His son writes on him that he put on his Shabbos suit because he's going to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Took his accountant with him, took a check for $50,000, went to the Goyish company, made an appointment with the head of the company, came over there and he says, I want you to check again to see if our account is up to date. So he called down, this and that. He says, yes. All right. He says, you've made a mistake. It's not up to date. Gave him the check for $50,000. This was these halachos, this Rambam. These were Hasidim. These were the Hasidim. What do we learn from all of this? We can learn a number of things from all of this. I'd like to mention four. Firstly, how stringently the Torah was machmer, how stringently the Torah, was so stringent when it came to dealing with money of others. We were not allowed to take anything from others without his permission. And how carefully we have to deal with this. Incidentally, it goes even further. But it's interesting, the Rambam doesn't bring that. The Gemara says, Oser ligzol, oser ligne vafilu daite shel brios. You're not even allowed to steal from, to deceive a person. The Rambam doesn't bring that here in Hilchis Geneva Gzela. Rather, the Rambam brings it in Hilchis Deos. In Perek Beis, from Hilchis Deis, Halacha Vav. The reason for that is because that Gemara, it's a Gemara in Masechet Chulin and Perek Olah Basar, that Gemara is referring to where you deceive him, but you do not steal anything of value from him. So therefore the Rambam learns that that's not Genevus Momon. It's not where you take his possessions. That's why it's called Geneva's Das. It's just deceit without gain or without loss to him. Even that we're not allowed to do. But if I don't take any money from him, so it's no loss to him. What's the difference? So Rambam learns is because it's deceit. And this is what the Rambam brings in Perek Beis, Halacha Hei. Halacha Vav. Also, la'odim la'hanig atzmai bedivrei chalokai supitui. Jew is not allowed to conduct himself with false flattery or false words. He should not say one thing with his mouth and think differently with his heart. In other words, the midas ha'emes, the quality of truth, has to be through and through. Eleteche kibare, through and through. Gemara in Yuma says that a Talmud Chochem has to be like the Oren HaKodesh was. The Oren HaKodesh was gold on the outside and gold on the inside. Teche kibare. Talmud Chochem has to be through and through. Va'inyan shebelev hu adover shebepeh. What he's thinking in his heart, that has to be on his mouth when he's dealing with people. I mean, we're speaking where he should not deceive him. Va'osel lignev das habriyais. And therefore, you're not allowed to deceive a person, even with words, even though there's no loss of money. Va'afilu das anochri. And even that of a non-Jew. Ketzad lo yimka lanochri b'sa nevele b'mokum b'sa shchuta. If you have a butcher shop and you sell kosher meat, but you have non-kosher meat there also, because in the old days the butchers were shechtim. They were the shechtim. So when they were checked, sometimes it would come out that it's not a kosher animal. So they would sell off the kosher animal to the non-Jews. But he sells it at the same price. See, the price of kosher and the price of non-kosher was the same price. Goy comes in, so he'd sell him the non-kosher. A Jew comes in, he'd sell him the kosher. A Goy comes in, he's got a mishigas. He says, I want kosher. I want dafke, something that's kosher. So the Jew says, all right, it's kosher. But meanwhile, he gives him the non-kosher. He didn't steal anything of value from him, because this is the market price. This you're not allowed to do, because you deceived him. V'lay minhol shel meso b'mokam minhol shel shchuta. The same thing, leather. The goy has a mishigas. I want leather that's dafke from a kosher animal. See? Not from an animal that was not checked. So this, even though they sell for the same price. Or, for example, that you very exorbitantly invite a person to join you to eat at your house, or to eat by you in a restaurant, and tell him, I'll pay the bill, when you know that he will not accept. That's why you're doing it. If you're doing it sincerely, allowed to, but you know he won't accept some mela, therefore I might as well offer, make the offer to him. Or to offer him all kind of gifts on the basis that you know he won't accept. Or, for example, you break out a new bottle of champagne for him, and you say, you see what I do for you, but you had in mind to do it anyhow. And even one word of such seduction or genevis das is also forbidden. Elas fas emes veruach nochen velev tohor mikol omel baiva. Torah wants the person to have lips of truth, upright spirit, pure heart. So it goes even further. But here we're speaking, actually, the genevis momen, where you take momen from a person. So we see how strict the Torah was and how careful we have to be when dealing with someone else's money. Even the money of a non-Jew, even the money of a Rishoyim. That's one principle we learn from here. Second principle we learn from here is how far we have to go to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and how we have to be careful not to desecrate His name. Even, we all know the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, but even Eitzel Rishei Yaakov, by the non-Jew and the Rishoyim, the wicked of the non-Jew. It's Morgala. People like to say, what are you worrying about the going for? The immortal that tells the Rosh Yeshiva used to say, Moshe said, Lama Yemru Mitzrayim. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you kill us in the desert because of the golden calf or because of the Meraglim, what will the Egyptians say? What will you used to say? Well, who cares what the Egyptians say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is worrying about what the Egyptians say. What kind of argument is that? The Egyptians, they were idolaters. They were Reitzchim. They were murderers. Shev Chedomim. Megalarais. They were everything. What are you worried about the Egyptians? No, you see, that's Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. We see from here, this is another important principle. You see how much Musar, Ashkofa, Yesha. You know, we have people like to make a dichotomy from the Torah. There's the legal side of the Torah, and then there is the ideological, the ethical, the philosophical side of the Torah. Many people like to discuss ideology, philosophy, ethics. But they say, look, the legal side, that leave for the lawyers. Here, this is all, we're learning this all from the Parsha of when your brother will become poor and he sells himself to a non-Jew, or he sells himself to idolaters, and now you have to come and redeem him. How much you have to pay, this is all the legal side. Look how much Musar and how much Hashkofa, how much ideology and philosophy you can learn from there. You know, one of the great reasons why there were opponents to the Musar movement was for this reason. Because there's no such thing as Musar. There's no such thing as ethics or philosophy. All of the philosophy of the Torah and all of the ethics of the Torah and all of the ideology of the Torah has to come from the legal confines of the mitzvahs. And any Musar ideology that does not is kfira. The Christians, all the religions have ideologies. They all have Musar, they all have philosophy. And you see where it takes them to. It takes them to destroying the world, to being the most cruelest people in the world. When 6 million were killed, the Pope was silent. What happened to the philosophy? What happened to the ideology? The ideology can only come from the mitzvahs Hashem. Because the mitzvahs Hashem are the gevulim. They are the guidelines for the ideologies. This was one of the great reasons why those who opposed the Musar Sefer, the Musar movement, did. Those that backed it was not because they held differently. It's because they held, yes, true. So therefore we must concentrate also on the Musar that comes from the halacha, that comes from the mitzvahs. But nobody held there should be an independent Musar, an independent ethics. That no one held, except when it started to deviate like any other movement might have. So then this was brought back to the core. Here you see we're learning something that's pure halacha, pure legal. You see what kind of rich Musar and ethics comes from it. And then we see something else from here. We see what we spoke about not long ago. There were always those in the, it was traditional in the yeshivas, especially the Litvish yeshivas and the Litvish chadorim, that where you would learn Mishnah with the children, you would learn the Zikin. In other words, such halachas, such laws. There was the modern trend in America. What do we have to learn that for them for? They're not going to become a rabbonim necessarily. They're not going to become dayonim, judges, or lawyers. Learn better brachas, mesechta brachas, so they'll know what kind of bracha to make. They'll know how to daven. Learn the halachas of Shabbos with them, and so forth. when the Mechanchim, the teachers in Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva wanted to change it, it says this is the first time he ever called a meeting. He called a meeting of them and said, Chas v'sholem, heaven forbid. So they asked him, but what will the child have from this? He says, what do you mean what the child will have from this? He says, by learning these halachas, he will hear hundreds of times, Metonish nemen, zachen, and gelten, was belong to an andere. You're not allowed to take what belongs to someone else. That's what they hear over hundreds of times. You're not allowed to take or to touch what belongs to others. He says, you're asking me what the child will have from it? He'll be a Jew. This is a Jew. This is important not only for the boys, but for the girls also. Some people feel, well, what's this got to do with girls shouldn't learn this? This is boys. But well, girls don't have to know these halachos. They don't have to know the halacha of that you're not allowed to touch something that belongs to someone else. They don't have to know the halacha of Kiddush Hashem, of Chilul Hashem. This is one little mitzvah we're touching. We hardly scratch the surface. Girls, of course, have to learn this. The Chumash is full of this. And Mishnais, why shouldn't they learn Mishnais Nezikin? The Gemara says that Hishvu Ish V'Isha L'chol Dinim Shebetorah, all of the mitzvahs of Nezikin, there's no difference between a man and a woman. So they also have to know this. They're also in business. That's something else that we learn from here. Now, in the Litvische circles of the last generations, these were the praises that were said on the tzaddikim of the generation. But when I say Litvische circles, I'm saying that because that's what I know. But it's not true just the Litvische circles. This was universal, where there was Torah. These were the praises that were said. Rav Yantiv Schwartz, in his Sefer, Einaim Lirois, Eyes to See, he writes, now he wasn't from Lithuania, I don't even know if he was ever in Lithuania. He was from the heart of Poland, and he learned in Poland. And Poland was the largest population in Europe. Poland, pre-war, could have been up to 4 million Jews. While Lithuania had 150,000, 200,000. He writes consistently. He says, these were the tzaddikim. You had people, great people and small people, Balabati, that were known, they wouldn't touch a penny that wasn't theirs. They were known for their integrity, for their honesty. Even from a non-Jew. The non-Jews trusted them. So this wasn't exclusive to Lithuania. What were the stories that you would hear on the Chofetz Chaim? What you would hear on the Chofetz Chaim, what you hear about today? What kind of meat he ate? The stories you hear on the Chofetz Chaim. I've mentioned this many times, that there was an old Jew in St. Louis when we were there. He had a pharmacy in the Raden, the Chofetz Chaim city. He used to say, in the Raden, it was impossible to make a fast deal off of a goy. Impossible. Because the minute the goy would think that you're trying to cheat him, he would say, all right, we'll go to the Chofetz Chaim. And when the Jew heard that, that was it. This was the Chofetz Chaim. See, these were the stories you heard on the Chofetz Chaim. A Jew and a goy would come to a Chofetz Chaim with a dispute. A Chofetz Chaim would be iron hand towards the Jew. First of all, trying to steal from a goy, but second, Chilul Hashem. Unfortunately, these have been lost. But these are some of the principles that we learn Incidentally, Rav Gifter writes a story that when he was in Telz, there was a small general shop on one side of the city. Another side of the city was a large general shop, both owned by Jews. The small one was owned by a particular person who was very poor. If the Bochrim would go by him, he would say, "Bochrim, you don't have much money. Why do you come by me? If you go to so-and-so, the larger shop," he says, "since he sells a larger volume, he can sell it to you for a penny cheaper." You see, this is the type of, not only he didn't want to take your money, he didn't want to sell to you because you could get it cheaper some other place. This person, he said, was from the poorest in town, but they had made in charge of the local gemach, because they knew he's beyond suspect, integrity, unlimited. So these are a number of the principles that we learn from this mitzvah, these halachos.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.